This is a health warning from Dr. Approved Medical, America's trusted resource for back braces. If you're 65 or older and suffering from back pain, you may qualify to receive an advanced pain-relieving back brace at little or no cost to you. Many people are now using our pain-relieving back brace as an alternative to surgery or harmful medications and experience pain relief that they haven't felt in years. Don't let your back pain turn into something worse. Remember, if you qualify for no money out of pocket, there's nothing to lose and only real pain relief to gain. Our friendly team of experts will handle all paperwork and we'll deliver it for free. 800-507-1148. Your pain-relieving back brace may be covered by Medicare at little or no cost to you. Call our hotline now and get free shipping, plus a complimentary, easy-to-use pedometer. 800-507-1148. 800-507-1148. 800-507-1148. Little to no cost with full insurance payment, copay, and deductible. Supply promo subject to qualification while supplies last.
Well, welcome. You're listening to Sports Econ 101, the show where we discuss sports topics from a business perspective. I'm your host, Edward Brown, along with my co-host, Bruce McGowan, longtime sports radio personality. Our good friend, Willie McCovey.
Yeah, sad. Well, he was 80 years old, for those that hadn't heard, and those who are sports fans probably know that Willie McCovey, Hall of Famer, former Giant, longtime major leaguer, played 22 years in the big leagues, 19 of them were the Giants, passed away on Halloween morning. At the age of 80, he'd been in ill health for some time, but he was just a constant presence at the ballpark. I, of course, go to a lot of Giant games and have in the past, and he has his own little booth up there, and we'd go visit him and talk with him. So we'll talk a little bit about Willie McCovey. Yeah,
how long was he in a wheelchair? Because I know he'd been there for a
while.
You know,
I'm going to say about five years maybe. Yeah, that's tough.
In addition to talking about Willie, I've got some other things here. Le'Veon Bell, of course, had to talk about him.
Oh, yeah.
And Ty Montgomery disobeying coach's orders. That's kind of interesting.
Yeah, and then he gets traded.
Yeah. So we'll kind of talk about that. It'll be kind of fun.
Did Ty Montgomery go to Stanford? I think he did.
You know, I'd have to look. I don't remember.
I think he did. I believe he did.
How did Stanford people act like that? They're supposed to know better.
They are. Okay. That's right. To get into that place, you got to be, you know, you got to be a genius.
Well, it's funny because on the same week, the Seattle punter runs out of the end zone.
Instead of
taking the safety, you know, because he saw an opening.
Yeah,
it gets a little scary when the players don't listen to the coaches.
I remember one time Ray Guy got terrible blocking for a punt, and he had to run, and he ran 40 yards for a first down. He was a great athlete.
Now, something like that's a little different.
Yeah,
that's a broken play.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But okay. Ty Montgomery, you know, he could have had – it was his choice.
Yeah.
You know?
Especially when he was given explicit instructions, too.
Yeah.
And then he fumbled. I mean, it's one thing to disobey the coaches. It's another thing to fumble and basically lose the game for
your team. He did play his college ball at Stanford, by the way.
He did.
Drafted as a wide receiver.
All right. Yeah. Okay, this segment of Sports Econ 101 is sponsored by Pacific Private Money, still providing mortgage investments that are currently yielding over 7.5%. You got to check them out at pacificprivatemoney.com. Don't touch that dial. You're listening to Sports Econ 101. We're going to be right back.
This is Mark Hanf, co-host of Mortgage Investing 101. Did you know that you can earn, year in and year out, returns of 8% and more on your savings and retirement accounts? Mortgage-backed investment strategies such as trusted investing and mortgage pool funds can do just that. Since 2008, clients of Pacific Private Money have consistently earned high yields on their investments. Find out for yourself how you, too, can profit from these real estate-secured investments. Call 415-883-2150 or visit our website at PacificPrivateMoney.com.
This holiday season, we invite you to share the magic as we enliven your heart and send your spirits high. Join us for Transcendence's Broadway Holiday Spectacular at Luther Burbank Center for the Arts in Santa Rosa and Lincoln Theater in Napa Valley. Broadway performers bring new songs, revamped holiday favorites, and pop songs with a festive new twist to the Broadway Holiday Spectacular. This reimagined show will be your family's favorite new tradition. It's time to reawaken the magic. It's time to share the spirit of the season. It's time to share the holidays together. The Broadway Holiday Spectacular opens November 30th through December 7th. Reserve your seats now at BroadwayHolidayShow.com.
Mountain Mike's Pizza. You've heard our phrase, pizza the way it ought to be. But did you know that our famous pepperoni large pizza has over 100 pieces of pepperoni on it? Our dough and shredded cheese are made fresh daily, never frozen. Having a party? We have a great room for parties and a video arcade with tickets and prizes for kids, located at 2100 4th Street in San Rafael. You'll enjoy your pizza the way it ought to be. Call us at 415-454-4300. That's Mountain Mike's Pizza in San Rafael.
In times of economic uncertainty and chaos, your money means nothing. You may not even be able to get it from your bank or ATM. And the money you do have in the stock market will go down and down. What you can bank on is gold and silver. Gold and silver have been a reliable and trusted form of currency for thousands of years. Gold and silver have never been worth zero, and typically gold holds its value during economic turmoil. Call the Gold Hotline now and learn how to protect your money and your assets with gold and silver. And learn how to set up a new IRA or roll over your current one into a gold-backed IRA. Protect your money from the next market crash with gold and silver. Call now for your free gold guide.
800-535-7789. 800-535-7789. 800-535-7789. That's 800-535-7789.
Welcome back to Sports Econ 101. Edward Brown here along with Bruce McGowan. So when we cut off the first segment, we were mentioning about our friend Willie McCovey, 80 years old.
Yeah,
just a great guy.
Great guy.
Great guy.
Great player.
Yeah, 1959.
59, he started with the Giants. First game in the major leagues is in June at Old Seal Stadium in downtown San Francisco. And there were only about 10,000 people there for a weekday game. And he's facing a guy named Robin Roberts.
Yeah.
People like you and I who are baseball fans have heard of him. But your average listener out there, Robin Roberts, who's that? Well, Robin Roberts was a great pitcher from the late 40s through probably the mid-60s. And he made it to the Hall of Fame. Willie McCovey, his first game, imagine this, first game in the major leagues, four hits off Robin Roberts, two triples, two singles, and a legend was born.
And here's the funny thing. I can't imagine Willie McCovey hitting a triple, but again, you know,
well,
he was
20 years old at the time. Yeah. The guy was very fast at that time.
Yeah.
And one of those singles he hit was hit so hard off the wall that it rebounded right to the outfielder who threw back in, and Willie had to hold up at first.
Yeah.
Can you imagine that?
I know. It's funny. My vivid memories of Willie, you know, with that stance and that swing.
The tree stump
that he used to use. And
yeah. He had a big bat. And, of course, you know, Candlestick, he wasn't hurt like Mays was hurt because the wind would blow in from left. Willie Mays actually had to change his swing and hit the opposite field because if he tried to hit to dead left field, which was his normal way of hitting, a lot of his fly balls would be knocked down by the wind.
He was left-handed, and he was a pull hitter.
I'm talking about Mays, though.
Oh, Mays.
Yeah,
oh, gotcha.
I'm talking about how Willie Mays had to adjust to the winds at Candlestick. It probably took 100 home runs away from him, maybe more.
Yeah.
But he opened up his stance or closed his stance and hit the ball a lot to right. Willie McCovey was fortunate in that he was a dead pull hitter. In other words, that would mean if you're a left-handed hitter, you're hitting the ball strictly to the right side. And as a matter of fact, the first exaggerated shift that teams tried, Sparky Anderson did this with the Reds. He'd shift his whole infield over to the right to try to stop McCovey from getting hits.
Yeah.
And sometimes Willie would just hit the ball over everybody. But Sparky Anderson once said, he was the manager of the Reds at the time. He said, there's no point in pitching to Willie McCovey. Walk him every time. He's going to kill you. And, in fact, a lot of managers did do that for a few years because he was just a very dangerous hitter.
Yeah, I remember I would have hated to have been the first base coach or a
line drive hit your
line. Exactly. Yeah. Just being the batter before hitting a single. You know?
Yeah, Willie, and the thing about Willie's balls that were hit, they were not little pop-ups or ground-outs or easy fly balls. I mean, some of them were. But most of the time he made contact, it was a screaming line drive. And in today's world where they measure all the stuff, launch angles and speed when it's leaving the bat, he'd be right at the top.
Oh, I mean, yeah.
Can you imagine him playing in the ballpark in San Francisco where you have that body of water that's named aptly McCovey Cove, right behind he would have hit 100 balls into that into that drink.
Well, it's funny. He was the only player I ever saw hit a ball completely out of Candlestick Park, the stadium.
Yeah.
And it's funny, my one specific memory, you know, just him being just a gentle giant, I guess is a good way of putting it, is they were playing the Cubs one time, went to the game, and there was some kind of breakout fight, you know. I'm sure Ron Santo was in there somewhere.
Ron Santo, there's another great name from the past. Yeah, another guy who's passed on.
He's passed on. Yeah. But what I remember is all these guys just fighting and piling on, and McCovey just kind of very calmly walks in, and he just one guy just grabs by the scruff of the neck and throws him off, and another guy with the left hand he throws him off.
That sounds like Willie. Yeah, a great peacemaker. I will say this about Willie: I got to know Willie quite well, having worked at the Giants' flagship station a number of years. And, you know, Willie was the kind of guy that if he liked you, and he liked most people, he would sort of always welcome having you around. He just loved to talk baseball, and he'd love it if you'd ask him some questions about players that he played with, because he loved to talk about. He told me a story once about Ted Williams, and I didn't know this. You know, he and Ted Williams both ended up with 521 career homers, which is kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Ted Williams grew up in San Diego and it was the product of an unhappy family and just poured himself into baseball. And he was kind of a rough guy. He wasn't real friendly with people, but he had a great relationship with other ball players, and especially young ones. And he befriended McCovey when McCovey was a rookie at spring training, and the Red Sox were training in Arizona. And Willie told me the story that he spent an hour with Willie the first time he met him. He said, I've heard stories about you in the minor leagues, and, you know, I just want to give you some advice. And Willie said the advice was invaluable, and he'd go to Williams. He said Williams gave me more good batting tips than any other coach, manager, anybody he's ever had.
Well, it probably helped from another left-hander. And by the time McCovey came in,
Ted was just winding down.
He had been playing for 20 years.
Yeah, he was just winding his career down. He was quitting in 1960, the year that McCovey was just starting to really, you know, have his first full season. So, but they apparently stayed friends forever. And when Ted Williams died in 2002, I was doing a talk show, a pregame Giants show on a road trip with the Giants in Phoenix. And we got Willie McCovey on, and I had no idea that he'd had this relationship with Ted, but I wanted to ask him some questions. And he told me this whole story. Oh, yeah, Ted and I were friends, and we grew. I said, what? Oh, wow, this is great. And so those are the kind of things you'd learn from Willie McCovey if you sat down and talked with him. You know, he'd love to talk about his relationship with other athletes, and he loved to talk about growing up in the South, and he loved to talk about baseball. He just was a wonderful source of storytelling.
Did he come from Mississippi?
He came from Mobile, Alabama, which is the same Gulf
right?
City. No, Willie Mays is from a little town called Fairfield, who came from Mobile was Hank Aaron.
Oh,
and Hank Aaron was about 4 years older than Willie McCovey, and Willie McCovey just idolized Hank Aaron. They went to the same high school. I guess Hank graduated the year Willie started, so he kind of knew him on a peripheral basis, but later on they became friends.
And were McCovey and Mays, were they friends?
Willie McCovey was friends with everybody. And Willie Mays, despite his kind of caustic, curmudgeonly personality, if he liked you, and it took him sometimes a while to warm up to you, he could be really a lot of fun. He wasn't the welcoming, friendly kind of guy that Willie McCovey was. But, you know, Willie Mays, just everybody's different. You know, Willie McCovey was just an easygoing guy. Willie Mays is wound a little tighter. And people also used to come at Willie always asking for favors. I'm talking about Willie Mays. And he got tired of it. You know, Willie McCovey never got tired of that. He never got tired of people asking him for an autograph. He never got tired of people saying, hey, I saw you play in 1964, you know, at some game and hit a home run. He never got tired of meeting the people. He was truly a man of the people. And, you know, athletes, I think that's why I cried. I have to admit, I'm not ashamed to say this. I cried several times when I heard the news, you know, for off and on for a day or so, because I really, really liked the guy. He was part of my childhood, and, you know, I got to know him as a professional broadcaster. And, you know, I'm proud to say that Willie was, you know, we weren't bosom buddies or anything, but he was always like I was always on a first name basis with him. And it was special, you know. I can count only on maybe one hand the Hall of Fame athletes that I've known who I've had that kind of relationship with, you know. And Orlando Cepeda is another one of those guys. And Orlando had a near-death experience last year where he fell down in a parking lot and was in a coma for a month, and I'm happy to say he's doing much better now.
How old is he now?
He is actually the same age as Willie. They were born the same year, 1938, so he's 80 as well.
Yeah, because Mays was born 31.
Mays is doing really well. Mays has, you know, had some vision problems. He's legally blind, but he gets around, and he's feisty. His wife passed a couple years ago. She had Alzheimer's for a number of years.
How long were they married?
Oh, God, many, many years. Yeah. 50 years maybe or something. Yeah. Never had any. I think he adopted a boy, and his son is probably in his 50s now.
Yeah.
Probably.
You know, it's funny. You think about, having Bobby Bonds and McCovey and Mays and going, how come they didn't win like back to back to back to back?
Well, you know, the problem with the Giants was they were always in a pitching. In those days, they were not. First of all, they weren't in divisions. There was just one league. So if you didn't win the league, you didn't win. And the Dodgers always had a little more pitching. And then the Cardinals had the great teams with Bob Gibson and Lou Brock. And it's not that the Giants weren't good enough. They were. With a few little breaks, they would have probably won two or three pennants.
Yeah, well, but 62 was the big
62 they won it, but in 63, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8 and 9, they finished second place every time. Or 1 year they finished fourth, but they were in the race right till the end.
I think that's the one regret McCovey has. He didn't hit the ball 6 inches higher.
Bobby Richardson, this last game of the World Series, the final out of the 62 World Series.
Yeah, a little nerve-wracking for them.
Yeah.
All right, so we're going to go to a commercial break here. This is going to be general sports trivia. We'll start off with baseball here.
Baseball.
Baseball. We've got to give you an easy one.
Oh, good.
Okay?
I want an easy one. Give me an easy one to start with. Underhand softball here.
All right. What baseball player was nicknamed the human vacuum cleaner? You know this one.
I should know that one. I can't.
Oh, my gosh.
I know that one.
Of course you know. All right. Email Edward at sportsecon101.com. The answer to this question. What baseball player was nicknamed the human vacuum cleaner? All right. Don't touch that dial. We're going to be right back.
Where do you want to go on a vacation or honeymoon? The Caribbean, Europe, Hawaii, Mexico? How about Disney or a cruise? At Superior Cruise and Travel, we've got you covered. We'll assign you your own travel concierge. They'll help you design a custom vacation plan that you can't find online. And the service is completely free. You can't compare the value of this to any other online travel company. We can help you plan a custom vacation anywhere in the world. We even offer payment plans with no credit card required. Now you pay off your vacation on your time schedule. Call now and mention the promo code RADIO and save up to $500. Book your custom trip. Call Superior Cruise and Travel now and talk to one of the highest rated travel agencies in the country with a 5-star A+ online rating.
800-570-9631. 800-570-9631. 800-570-9631. That's 800-570-9631.
Rebuild or replace transmission, $3,200. Anti-lock brake system, $1,000. Rebuild or replace engine, $2,400. Truth is, once your manufacturer's warranty runs out, it's all on you. Every last cent. Get protection for covered repairs with a vehicle service contract from Toco Warranty. Unlike other companies, with Toco, there's no down payment, and the monthly payments are really affordable. Not sure how long you're keeping your car? At Toco, you can pay as you go. Keep your hard-earned cash and call Toco Warranty right now at 800-222-2313 to save big money on covered auto repairs. Prices vary by vehicle, but for about the cost of a tank of gas per month, a Toco plan has your back on expensive covered car repairs. Monthly payments are very affordable. Get your free quote now. Call Toco at 800-222-2313. That's 800-222-2313. 800-222-2313. Cancellation fee may apply. Subject to eligibility. Not available in Missouri and Washington. Waiting period and deductible apply. Coverage provided and administered by Warrantech Corporation or its affiliates. Not affiliated with any manufacturer or dealership. Visit TocoWarranty.com for complete terms and conditions.
It has been said that everyone has a book in them. But do you have the time or the ability to write your book? Maybe you picked up some skills or had a life experience that you want to pass on in the form of a book to help others. Maybe you want to leave an autobiography for your family. Or maybe you've built a successful business and you want to share your story. At Dorrance Publishing Company, we have professional writers who can help turn your book idea into a finished manuscript quickly and affordably. A Dorrance ghostwriter can provide as much or as little help as you need to complete your book. You'll work directly with your ghostwriter to finish your book faster than you ever could on your own. It's easy to become a published author. Call Dorrance now to learn more.
800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. Call right now. That number is 800-485-6003.
Welcome back to Sports Econ 101. Edward Brown here along with Bruce McGowan. Here was our first trivia question. What baseball player was nicknamed the human vacuum cleaner?
I'm going to say Brooks Robinson.
Of course. Yeah.
Great third baseman. Who, again, another one of those players I got to know because he was broadcasting with the Baltimore Orioles. And several times when the Orioles would come to town to play the A's, I would grab him for a quick interview. And what a wonderful storyteller also.
Yeah, he seems like a really good guy.
Oh, yeah. He and Frank Robinson. God, talk about some great players on that team. You think about the Orioles in the late 60s.
Paul Blair
and Boog Powell and Dave McNally and Jim Palmer and Andy Etchebarren, Davey Johnson.
I mean, there you go. You got the whole thing.
Yeah. Great players.
It's interesting because I was a big Mets fan. So the 69 Mets, the Miracle Mets were big.
Why were you a Mets fan?
Is
it a particular player? Usually it's a player that kind of pulls you in. I always liked the old Cincinnati Reds when in the 60s when they had Veda Pinson. For some reason, I liked Veda Pinson, and I later became friends with Veda, who also is no longer with us. But Veda is from the Bay Area. Just a nice guy. And so I just loved the Reds. Frank Robinson, Veda Pinson, you know, Tommy Harper, who was from the Bay Area.
Well, I always loved Johnny Bench. You know.
Johnny Bench, yeah.
In fact, I still remember.
It was a little bit later.
A little bit later, but I remember my dad telling me when he was a rookie, you watch this kid. He's got a lot. You know, sort of like a Buster Posey type.
I remember seeing him his rookie year, and I'm thinking, my God, this guy is good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I loved old Crosley Field, too. I knew they moved into a bigger place in Riverfront Stadium. They had to boost the attendance because it was under 30,000 at Crosley Field. But Crosley Field was cool. They had a little hill in the outfield. You could see all the hills behind the ballpark and the homes on the on the hills. And it was just, they had a homey kind of a feel. I loved that place. I never went to a game there, of course.
Is it the Kansas City Royals who have like the hill in the back where the ball hits? You know,
I think so. I think it's Kansas City.
Kind of. That's kind of funny.
Yeah.
All right. So let's talk about this for a minute. Okay, Le'Veon Bell. Yeah, like Evian, but Le'Veon. Yeah. So he has to play football sometime this season, in order to earn an accrued season and reach free agency in March.
Right.
And so now James Conner is not doing too bad a job filling in his role, but the deadline's passed, so the Steelers can't trade him. So they're stuck. They're stuck with each other.
With him. Yeah.
Yeah, and he's stuck with them. They're stuck with them.
Not a bad deal.
But is it kind of a game of chicken? I mean,
I don't know the specifics behind the holdout or the dissatisfaction, but it just seems to me like he's cutting his own throat. You don't want to do that.
No, because the thing is, even if he gets a decent deal or if he gets traded, I mean, how is his new team going to look at him?
Yeah. I know that's the problem. I think if you're he's a great player, but he's not like, you know, a super duper star, and I think that does hurt his marketability. I think, you know, as a player today, these guys are getting paid so much better than they were.
Yeah.
It's not that they should accept what they're given every time, but a holdout, I just don't think there are other alternatives to doing that.
Well, I don't know who's giving him the advice. You know,
his agent, obviously.
Yeah, but
his agent is not very smart. Again, I don't know who his agent is, but when you in this day and age, a holdout is just. I realize it's sometimes the only weapon a player has, but there are ways of sitting down and bargaining. You know, and how about compromise?
There you go.
You know,
I mean, it's funny because the agent's not getting paid anything.
No,
right?
He's got other clients though.
But he's
trying
to
make
commission
his,
to.
And who knows? Maybe Bell says, "I want to be. You know, I want to hold out." And the agent is not being contrarian with him. Maybe he's saying, "Okay, go ahead, do what you want."
See, the thing I don't understand is, I could kind of understand many, many years ago when guys were not getting paid as well, and you couldn't live off of a 1 year's salary. Let's say
you could compared to most people, but what you didn't get what you thought you were deserving, and it's probably true.
Yeah.
Back in the day, you know that Sandy Koufax and Don Drysdale held out, I think in 1964, might have been 65, they both wanted $100,000 each, which was a lot of money back then, but still, I mean, these were two of the best in the game, and the Dodgers wouldn't give it to them. Why? They could afford it, but they finally did give him a deal. It didn't turn out to be as good, but you know, I understand the holdouts back in those days. Today's players are being paid ridiculous amounts.
And that's the thing is all Bell has to do is play 1 year, sock most of it away after paying taxes, and he might not have to work for many, many, many years.
Yeah, even if you're only making a couple of $1 million, if you invest it smartly and have a good, you know, financial person, which unfortunately a lot of these players don't have. They want to spend money and they want to throw it around like it's, you know, like there's no tomorrow.
Yeah, because they're going to play till they're 70.
Yeah, right. Yeah. A lot of these players don't seem to realize, hey, you know, I'm 24 years old. I'm in great health now. But in 4 years from now, if I'm lucky still to be playing, I may not be in such good health. I may not be a highly sought after commodity. Hello.
And what happened Thursday with the 49ers against the Raiders? The 49er player? And I lost it. I missed a lot of it. Right. But I saw the highlight, and his arm looks gruesome. It's a gruesome injury.
Yeah, I heard. I saw that.
And it's like, okay, now I don't know if he's going to be gone. Well, the season's like, you know, kind of almost over from that point of it. He's not going to come back this season.
I wouldn't think so.
But, you know, can he come back next season? Maybe if he's young and, you know, the way it heals.
Sure.
But, you know, and I don't know what his contract says about how he gets paid, you know, being hurt. You know, it cuts all over the board. But Don't these younger players realize that kind of stuff can just happen just because it happens?
I think when you're young sometimes, Edward, what happens with these athletes is they've been, you know, the best of the best, and they've been lucky to stay healthy. They just think, to a certain degree, they think they're invulnerable. Oh, I'm not going to get hurt. Or if I do, I'll come back from it, because they're so young and so strong and so, you know what it felt like when you were 22, 23? Yeah. You felt invincible. I did. Remember, I used to go I was a big runner, and I used to run 10, 12 miles, and I'd say, it's nothing, you know, no big deal. Well, it is a big deal. Take care of yourself. So, I think pro athletes have to realize, and most of them do, their body is their livelihood, but they can't also think that they're invulnerable, that they're Superman.
Well, it's funny because I like to work out and lift weights and all that, and I've noticed now that I'm in my late 50s, I'm not as strong as I used to be.
You lose a certain amount of strength.
I'm only benching 450 now. No, I'm just kidding.
What's the most you've ever benched?
Actually, you know what? I was let's see. The most I ever benched, I'll give you two different examples. One, I was actually able to bench twice my weight.
Wow.
But I only weighed like a little less than 125 pounds. But I was very strong for my size. So I benched 250.
That's impressive, though.
It wasn't too bad. I probably, you know, it's funny because as you get a little older, you know you can get hurt.
Yeah.
And so I don't think I ever did 300, but you know, probably like 275.
Easiest way to hurt yourself is lifting something, too.
Oh, yeah. And with me, my back and all that, because I get a natural fusion between a couple of vertebrae. But I didn't know it. So literally when I was 24 years old, it's like I was having back problems. I couldn't figure it out. Checked it out. And so, you know, a lot of stretching.
Yeah, that's it.
It's amazing.
Stretching is good.
And I always hated stretching, even as a kid.
As you get older, it really feels good, though. You need it.
I hate it. It's like Listerine. I hate it, but I use it twice a day.
Oh, you got to do it, man.
Okay.
Got to do it.
All right. Let's see. Moving on here. So, okay, we talked about Ty Montgomery, and then the Seattle punter runs out of the end zone, even though he was told.
Punt returner, you're talking
about? Punt returner, the punter.
Okay.
The punter.
Right.
He was told to run out of the end zone. Or, excuse me.
You're talking about the Seattle punter.
Seattle punter.
Right.
Yeah. He was actually told to take a safety.
Right.
Okay. You know, clock winding down. The extra 2 points wasn't going to matter.
Yeah.
It's more of a clock management thing.
Sure.
But he saw an opening, and took it. I mean, and if you look at it, it was an opening, but it got closed pretty quickly.
He got the first down, too, didn't he?
He did. He
and
barely.
Pete Carroll was actually complimentary of him. He said, you know, that's something I like to see. If a guy has an opportunity, go for it.
See, that's different than most coaches are going to say, you do just whatever I tell you, right or wrong.
Yeah, but I think Pete Carroll is a modern-day coach, and he realizes that you can't do exactly what I tell you to do every time and have it work. So if you have to do a little, you know, improvisation, do it.
See, that's good coaching. That'll make you popular with your players.
Well, that's why Pete Carroll is popular with his players and successful.
Yeah. I heard a story about Joe McCarthy way back.
Joe McCarthy, for those that don't know, was the Yankees manager back in the 30s.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And he fined a player for hitting a home run because he had told him to bunt. But it was such a good pitch.
Stupid. That's trying to push your point a little too much.
Just a little too much. Okay, we're going to move on to another trivia question here.
Yeah.
Who is the only – this one's going to be a little harder.
Okay.
Who is the only player to win gold gloves as both an infielder and an outfielder?
Ooh, good question.
And I'll give you a hint.
Okay.
he in 2000 and 2002 he was in the outfield, and in 2004 he was in the infield.
Oh, interesting.
Okay, all so right. That's our that. Actually, let's see. Wait a minute.
Is he still playing?
Actually, this is, you know what? We don't have to cut to a trivia question yet because this is our third segment.
Right.
We have a little more time.
Actually, this is our second segment, isn't it?
No, this is actually our third.
Oh, we did our, but the introduction. Is
did the introduction.
Okay. See, for those out there listening, going, what are they talking about?
Well, and it's funny because I had my...
they're just tuning in and going, third segment, second segment, just talk to me about sports. I don't care what segment you're on.
Well, I forgot to check the mark here, and so at 9:45
mark,
I thought...
you're, you know, it's okay.
Okay.
It's all right.
I try not to make mistakes.
You're having a senior moment. It's okay. I can relate.
So when do you get to be my age?
Hey, listen, get to be my age, then you really have an excuse.
For those who don't know, Bruce looks really good for a man of 42.
I wish. That's when I met my wife. 24 years ago, I was 42. And I met her, and she was 24.
Wow.
So, yeah.
I know. My wife was reminding me. We're coming up on our 30th. We just celebrated our 29th anniversary.
Wow.
And
got us beat by 6 years.
But we met in December of 1981.
Wow. How old were you in 1981?
Well, I was almost 22.
You were just a kid.
I was a kid. I know. Ronald Reagan was president.
Wow.
Was
Ronald,
El Presidente. He had just started his presidency.
Bedtime for Bonzo.
Yeah.
Bedtime for Bonzo. Hey, Bonzo, come on over here. Ever it see that movie? Like, it's such a funny movie.
I haven't.
It's
but,
so funny. It is so off the wall.
He was actually a pretty good actor.
Yeah, he wasn't bad. He was a good character actor, and but he was. It was interesting. He was very politically oriented, and he didn't really want to get into politics. He liked being in the Screen Actors Guild as the head of that, but he was. There were a couple of real sharp conservative activist recruiters who looked at him. This guy could be perfect for us.
Yeah,
and they convinced him.
Make a good governor, and then El Presidente.
Yeah.
Don't touch that dial. Sports Econ 101. We'll be right back.
Mountain Mike's Pizza. You've heard our phrase, pizza the way it ought to be. But did you know that our famous pepperoni large pizza has over 100 pieces of pepperoni on it? Our dough and shredded cheese are made fresh daily, never frozen. Having a party? We have a great room for parties and a video arcade with tickets and prizes for kids. Located at 2100 4th Street in San Rafael. You'll enjoy your pizza the way it ought to be. Call us at 415-454-4300. That's Mountain Mike's Pizza in San Rafael.
This holiday season, we invite you to share the magic as we enliven your heart and send your spirits high. Join us for Transcendence's Broadway Holiday Spectacular at Luther Burbank Center for the Arts in Santa Rosa and Lincoln Theater in Napa Valley. Broadway performers bring new songs, revamped holiday favorites, and pop songs with a festive new twist to the Broadway Holiday Spectacular. This reimagined show will be your family's favorite new tradition. It's time to reawaken the magic. It's time to share the spirit of the season. It's time to share the holidays together. The Broadway Holiday Spectacular opens November 30th through December 7th. Reserve your seats now at BroadwayHolidayShow.com.
Hi, Sports Econ 101 listeners, I'm Edward Brown. You know me as the host of the show, but you may not know that I work with individuals getting them the least expensive term life insurance policies around. Don't be fooled by the ads you hear on TV and radio. It's always best to work with someone who's completely independent. That's where I come in. If you email me at edward@sportsecon101.com, your name, your age, and how much insurance you want, I'll run the numbers through my software program and let you know the least expensive policy around from among many of the top insurance companies. Again, I'm totally independent, so email edward@sportsecon101.com for your free life insurance quote today. Why pay more for life insurance than you need to? I can get you a guaranteed policy where the low premiums are fixed anywhere from 10 to 35 years. So email Edward at sportsecon101.com right now for your free life insurance quote. That's Edward at sportsecon101.com.
When it comes to vehicle safety, having poor visibility is a risk not worth taking. Get set for this fall's weather by visiting your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store during the See Better, Drive Safer sale. You'll find deals on name brand headlights, wiper blades, and everything you need to see better and drive safer. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Here we are, again, at Sports Econ 101. I'm Edward Brown, along with Bruce McGowan.
How many years have we been doing this now? 5 years?
Let's see.
2013,
yeah.
Because I was working with the Sandefeld Pacifics then. I was their play-by-play voice. That's right.
And apparently, for those who don't know, the Sandefeld Pacifics is a professional independent baseball league.
Right, minor league team.
Yeah, that's the
I think they're
going to
be around
here
for one more year, but they're
so?
Not, they're
but
not doing
well. Well, they're up for sale.
They are.
And don't know if they've got a buyer.
Well, and the rest of the league that they're in, they're not drawing anybody. It's sad.
If the Pacifics go, the whole league will go.
Oh, yeah. No question. I mean, the other teams are in places like Vallejo and Rohnert Park, not exactly. I mean, Sandefeld is not a big city, but it's got a big enough population to support it. But I think it's just that there's so many other things for people to do here in Marin.
Yeah.
And also, let's face it, most Marin County people are not minor league baseball fans.
No.
Maybe major league fans. But minor league ball is you have to appreciate, you have to appreciate the game.
And you've been to that Vallejo Stadium?
Yeah.
Oh, God, gosh. It's awful.
It's embarrassing.
It is. I think there were maybe 25 people. This is a nice one here. Yeah, it's very nice.
Yeah, they did a nice job.
And especially with the way the sun hits, you don't really, because the way the stands have some covering, you don't really, it's very well situated.
You know who played in the early days of that stadium? I mentioned Veda Pinson, Billy Martin, Frank Robinson, they all played high school or college games there, or minor league games. So how about
I guess
that
was one of the bigger, that was one of the bigger parks.
Yeah, it was.
Well, what was that built?
During the Depression, sometime in the late 30s, I think.
Oh.
Yeah, it was part of the WPA, the WPA projects, yeah.
Standing for
worker, whatever it was, that employed a lot of people during the Depression. A lot of men took jobs. Low wage jobs, but they were construction jobs.
Well, the Empire State Building was built in 2 years or something ridiculous.
Well, how long did it take them to build the Bay Bridge after the
10 years or so? I don't know.
Try 20, almost.
Is that
20.
Right?
Well, think about it. The earthquake happened in 1989.
Yeah.
So it was more than 20. When did it finally open again? Reopen about the new span? Was it
the new span? Yeah, because I mean, it's not like they closed the bridge.
No, they didn't close the bridge. But wasn't
the new span
open maybe only about 5 years ago? So
yeah,
2013,
right.
And when did the earthquake happen? 89. So we're talking about 24 years of work on that thing.
Yeah, but they had to protect the crustaceans that might have barnacles. Protect the barnacles.
The barnacles.
The barnacles. Okay. So we got to get back to our trivia question. Who is the only player to win gold gloves as both an infielder and an outfielder?
I'm grasping at straws. I don't know.
Okay, he played with the Angels.
Played with the Angels.
2000, 2002, and 2004.
Oh, I should know that one because the Angels won a World Series in 2002 against the Giants, and I was covering it. Who
was
that?
In fact, he was kind of a major player in that World Series.
Darren Airstead?
Yes.
Darren Airstead. Yeah. Who also, it was interesting, in Game 6, the Giants were up 5-0. Darren Airstead hit a home run that got him kind of on the comeback trail in the 7th or 8th.
Yeah, that's right. It was in the later innings.
Then later, Scott Spezio hit the 2-run homer, or 3-run homer, and it was like, oh, no.
That's still, there's certain games that still just get to me, and that's one of them.
I was there, and I'd sit next to Mike Kruko, one of the Giant broadcasters, a former player, wears his heart on his sleeve. He was counting down the outs. He got only 7 outs away, and we're going to win the World Series. And I'm thinking to myself, Mike, you shouldn't be saying that. only 7 outs away. Then Spezia hits the home run. He looks over at me. He goes, don't say another effing thing. Don't say another effing thing. Kruko always wore his heart on his sleeve. Kruko, by the way, was a pitcher, as a lot of our listeners may know.
A good pitcher.
Good pitcher. Yeah. And he won 20 games for the Giants in 86, but he made the All-Star team that year. He was never a great pitcher, but he had some good years. Mm-hmm. But he broke into the league just when Willie McCovey's career was winding down, and he faced McCovey in this game once, and McCovey hit a grand slam off him, but the umpire down the first baseline fell down as he was running down the line to see where the ball would go. It curved around the foul pole, inside the foul pole, and by the time the umpire got up, he saw that the ball was outside the foul line, so he ruled it foul. Everybody, including Kruko, knew it was a fair ball. But McCovey didn't argue, got back in there, and Kruko struck him out on the next at bat.
Wow.
And
that was when he played for the San Diego Padres at that time. Didn't he get traded?
Yeah, this would be with San Diego. But years later, McCovey met Kruko again at some old-timers function, comes up to me, goes, says, "Oh, Mike, you remember that grand slam I hit off of you?"
Because you mean the foul ball?
Yeah. And Kruko's like, "Yeah, I remember that." Yeah, grand slam. That was a grand slam. So Kruko loved telling that story. Yeah. He was telling that a lot this last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
The last couple of days, I should say.
And that was back before replay. And
before replay, and then, you know.
It's the call of the
home plate umpire could have overruled it. Yeah, but, you know, home plate umpires in those days, and I'm not sure if they do this day and age either, but, of course, you don't have people getting overruled anymore because if there's a controversial call, they go to the replay. But in those days, I think up until they had replay, I think a lot of home plate umpires deferred to, you know, unless the guy just totally missed it and couldn't see it completely. And it was obvious, but I think they didn't want to embarrass their fellow umpires. I think that was part of it.
If I was a home plate umpire.
And you saw it.
And I saw that. I mean, I wouldn't have to.
You think
I
he would have,
a,
too.
I wouldn't have made a big deal, but I would have, like, called him over and go, "Well, you know what? You may have missed that. You know, can you
And
can
the
you
guy probably shouldn't feel badly about it. He fell down. And he couldn't see it.
Yeah.
You know, that happens. Yeah, it wasn't like he totally blew the call. It wasn't like Don Denkinger who saw, you know, Joaquin Andujar step on first well before the runner. You know, this is in the 1985 World Series, for those that have forgotten it. Gave the Cardinals new life. They won the game and won the next.
You mean gave the Kansas City Royals.
Kansas City Royals. Against the Cardinals, new life. That's right. Kansas City won their first championship thanks to a blown call.
Yeah.
And our friend Buddy Biancolana was one of the heroes.
That's right.
Without that play, Buddy Biancolana wouldn't have been one of the heroes.
I know. Isn't that amazing?
That is. It's amazing. And, you know, but that changed everything in his life. He'll tell you that that changed everything. It's kind of cool.
Yeah. Yeah, because the thing is, if you lose the World Series, even though his stats for the World Series were very good.
Yeah, I think he went three for five with four RBIs or something.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. And errorless ball for a shortstop. That's pretty good.
Do you know that he was out of baseball 2 years later?
Yeah. What was it?
Well, he was nothing to not take anything away from Buddy Biancolana. But he was a marginal player, and you know, sometimes that's a great thing about sports. Sometimes it's the guys that nobody knows are going to do anything end up being the heroes.
Yeah.
I love that.
I mean, he was not known for his hitting.
No.
But he was a good shortstop.
But you had to hit in the major leagues, and he couldn't. He admits, you know, he just wasn't that good a hitter. And, you know, for Buddy, actually it was probably the best thing to happen to him because it forced him to do other things, and he's doing really well now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They still got that World Series ring?
Just came out with a new book. We should get him on sometime talking about that book.
Oh, did he just come out with one?
Yeah, okay. He did. Yeah.
Oh, it's funny because we've had him on a couple of times.
Well, he's been working on it, and he was also kind of, it was sort of supposed to be hush-hush until he came
out. Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, he didn't want to jinx it.
Oh, okay.
It's kind of like a guy saying, "Oh, we're going to the World Series." Well, we may go, but let's not talk about it too much.
Did he say what the book was about?
It's about the mechanics of hitting and the whole philosophy of hitting and how you get into the zone. And it's kind of specialized and sort of a little different than, you know, what other.
I mean, I could see him doing the mechanics of being a shortstop, but if he says his hitting really wasn't that good.
You know, but I mean, he knew enough about principles and philosophy and sort of that sort of thing. So we'll get him on sometime, have him give us.
Well, you know, it's funny. It's interesting how. For years, like, they teach little kids, they call it squish the bug, to be able to turn, you know, with your hips and all that.
Oh, I've never heard that expression.
You ever heard that? No. Basically, you're taking your if you're a right-handed hitter, you're taking your let's see, you're taking your right foot and you're turning it, you're turning into the ball.
Sure.
But then it's interesting, if you look at a lot of the really good players, if they're right-handed hitters, you look where their left foot ends up, and it's not flat. It's at an angle, kind of like as though they're walking, I don't say pigeon-toed, but they're walking on the side, you know. And then you look at old photos of, like, Ted Williams and all that, and he was doing it back then.
Yeah. Well, and think about guys like Mel Ott or Sadahiro who would lift their foot up, literally.
Yeah.
That was kind of bizarre. And some guys still do that. They lift the foot up. It's sort of a weird mechanic. But whatever works for you.
And I still remember how many home runs Mel Ott hit?
511.
Yes.
And Willie Mays broke his record at Candlestick in 1966. Okay. I know because I was there. He did it off a guy named John Purdon of the Dodgers.
See, I wouldn't remember John Burton, but the reason I remember 5'11", what's another famous 5'11"?
Oh.
Cy Young's amount of wins.
Oh, that's right.
He's not going to
of course, Cy Young won a lot of those games, and not to take anything away from him, but he won a lot of those games in the 19th century when it was a different game.
Well, they only had like three pitchers or something.
Yeah, you know, and pitchers would pitch the distance always.
Yeah, and pitch doubleheaders.
Doubleheaders. That's crazy. Yeah. Iron Man McGitney, I think he pitched 40 complete games 1 year. You know, I don't understand this. Today, these pitchers can't pitch a complete game, and yet Iron Man McGitney could. What's the difference? I mean, the ball hasn't changed their approach. Is it because they're throwing more breaking stuff?
No, probably not, because I think they were throwing a lot of stuff back then.
They were throwing everything but the kitchens. Curveballs and sliders and everything. Yeah.
I think it's more just the coaching part of it. It's like you don't want your players to get hurt. I mean, because they
– Well, because maybe it's the amount of money they're investing in these guys that just really cautious. Back in those days, you weren't going to make much money, so you played hurt, whether you liked it or not. Yeah. Sandy Koufax, after every game in the late or in the mid-60s, when he finally retired, he was only 30 when he retired. Yeah. His arm used to balloon up twice its size, and that was routine, and that's why he quit. He said, I can't live this way anymore. He says, I'm constantly having to take pain pills. He was miserable physically. He was absolutely miserable.
Just sitting here with your arm in the ice
thing
the whole time.
Yeah. Well, you think about it. It's a very unnatural thing. Unless you throw sidearm, to throw a baseball overhand is a very unnatural, unhealthy thing
especially
for you to do.
Didn't he throw screwballs, too?
Sandy, he threw everything.
Yeah, and a screwball is really weird.
He threw a curveball that was like a 92-mile-an-hour curveball. You know, you have to snap your wrist when you throw a curveball, so you can imagine to get it 92. Jeez, it's interesting. You see Sandy Koufax now; he looks
pretty good.
He looks pretty good. He is 82.
Okay,
yeah, just turned 82. Another guy who, you know, there's an interesting guy because I interviewed him once, and he's sort of standoffish and aloof. But once you get him to open up, extremely intelligent, and one of the few really successful Jewish American players. Uh-huh. Another one was Hank Greenberg.
Hank Greenberg, and come on, who was the one who spoke many languages? And Mo Berg,
was a spy for the U.S. Yeah. He helped to spy against the Japanese. We got a lot of information out of Mo Berg prior to that helped us out during World War II.
Which is so funny because it was Babe Ruth and I think it was Lou Gehrig and Mo Berg.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, we understand the first two guys.
He was a pretty good player. He wasn't an all-star or a superstar, but he was a pretty good player.
Yeah, but I mean, why?
Kind of like a Bob Brindley.
Why wouldn't they send Glenn Dickey? Because he was the superstar back then for Glenn Dickey.
The sports writer?
Bill Dickey.
Yeah, Glenn Dickey, for those that don't know, is a longtime sports writer here in the Bay Area. He really got me going there.
I know what I'm
years. Bill Dickey was a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, sound right. Bill Dickey, because he was with the Yankees.
Yeah, he was with the Yankees. He's a Hall of Famer,
And he was playing during that time.
Bill Dickey and Mickey Cochran were the two great catchers of their time. Yeah. Mickey Cochran got hit in the head and was never quite the same after that. Got hit with a pitch.
He played for the Tigers.
Also with the Philadelphia A's. Part of those great teams in the 30s that won, I think, a couple of titles.
Yeah. The old Connie Mack.
Old Connie Mack. And then he dismantled the team. He did that twice. He dismantled his championship teams twice.
It's got to be money.
You know what's sad about the A's? No matter where they've played, they've never had really very much success
at the gate.
They barely drew a million fans.
I'm sorry. I thought success, I was thinking about the
Oh, no,
the
I'm just saying
the
at the gate. They did draw in the late 80s, early 90s, they did draw well over 2.5 million.
Well, you had Canseco, you had the Bash Brothers.
You had a smart front office. Charlie Finley didn't care about marketing or, you know, being community friendly.
The bottom line there, sport.
Yeah.
All right. Here is our last trivia question. This is kind of fun.
Okay.
What other Hall of Fame was Wilt Chamberlain inducted into? Now, we all are going to know that.
Wow.
And the NBA was obvious.
Well,
right?
There actually is no NBA Hall of Fame. There's a basketball Hall of Fame that includes college and pro.
I apologize.
That's
are correct.
Springfield, Massachusetts.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So we all know Wilt Chamberlain for basketball.
What Hall of Fame?
So he was inducted into an
That's
additional
a good
Hall of Fame.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Had no idea about this one. It's kind of fun.
Okay.
All right, that's our trivia question. And when we come back, we're going to have some closing comments here on Sports Econ 101. So make sure that you stay tuned.
Don't touch that dial.
Don't touch that dial.
Are you an inventor who would like to try to have an invention or idea patented and submitted to companies? But you don't know what to do next? Call for free information from InventHelp. InventHelp, a leading inventor service company, has been helping inventors since 1984 and has sales offices located in more than 60 cities nationwide. You'll want to talk to the company that has helped secure more than 7,000 invention patents. So call InventHelp. Even if you have an idea for improving an existing product and don't know where to go with it, you'll still want to call InventHelp for free information. You'll find out how InventHelp may assist you in trying to patent your invention and submit it to companies. So call now.
Call InventHelp at 1-800-316-1738. That's 1-800-316-1738. Get your free information by dialing 1-800-316-1738. That's 1-800-316-1738. 1-800-316-1738.
Hey, travelers, do you want to save money on your next flight? Then pick up the phone and call. That's right, call, because the best prices are not online. They're with SmartFares. See, SmartFares has special deals with the airlines. When they have unsold seats, they use SmartFares to fill them. So you get airline tickets at ridiculously low prices. Our prices are too low to publish online. With the extra money you'll save, you can book another trip or treat yourself to dinner or shopping. So stop searching all of those travel sites to find the lowest price on your next flight. Let one of our SmartFares expert travel agents find ridiculously low prices for you. Call SmartFares today and get the best price on your next flight. Guaranteed. Also, save up to 50% off business and first class tickets.
855-325-1780. 855-325-1780. That's 855-325-1780.
When you struggle with credit card bills every month, you're not just in debt. Debt is all around you.
I see people every day that are on the brink. They're going to go over the edge, and at the bottom is bankruptcy, and we pull them back.
At the Debt Helpline, we're experts at helping you resolve your debt problems and become free of debt. We can help you pay off your debt and give you one lower monthly payment that you can afford.
You do get to consolidate your payments. You only have to worry about making one payment a month instead of making three or four or five.
If you have $5,000, $10,000 or more in credit card bills, call the Debt Helpline now for a free confidential debt analysis.
800-957-6063. 800-957-6063. Call the CESI Debt Helpline right now for a free, confidential debt review. 800-957-6063. 800-957-6063.
Welcome back to Sports Econ 101. Last time for today, I'm Edward Brown, your host, along with Bruce McGowan. Now, here was our last trivia question. What other Hall of Fame was Wilt Chamberlain inducted into?
I haven't a clue.
You ready for this?
Yeah.
Now, what else would you? What other sport would you think would be good for height?
Well, I remember Wilt took part in an exhibition boxing match.
Yeah. Oh, that's true, but I think it was
with Muhammad Ali. I believe so.
Yeah, and then
I think it was exhibition.
I remember. That's right, he did. And yeah. I remember Bruce Lee and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar in like Enter the Dragon. Or
oh
something.
Yeah,
Bruce Lee, you know, hey, Kareem. He
remember,
tried
Kareem
hard.
Kareem was an airplane, wasn't he?
He was, yeah. You try to guard Walton up and down the court, little kid. You know, yeah, I still remember that line.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Not a good actor, but a very good player.
Terrific player.
Yeah. So volleyball.
Oh, that's right. You know, Wilt loved beach volleyball, and of course, at his height, he could probably block everything.
Yeah.
He's 7 foot tall, 280 pounds. Big dude.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, not skinny.
And it's funny because I was watching one of the Warrior games recently, and they're talking about, you know, Clay had, you know, this is like his fifth 50-point game, right?
Six of them. Can you believe that?
Wilt had 50.
I know. Well, they get the ball to Wilt. Wilt averaged 35 a game 1 year. Rick
no,
Barry.
No, I think he averaged 50.
Well, you might be right. Yeah. Rick Barry averaged over 30 a game.
Yeah.
But you may be right. Wilt had a couple of years that were just amazing. And, here in San Francisco, in the Bay Area where we're doing this show from, back in the early 60s, I remember one of my first games I went and saw him play, and he was just dominated.
Yeah.
Just dominated.
I loved watching him play. I loved that finger roll.
The only guy who couldn't – you know, actually, Wilt was not a bad outside shooter, but the only guy he had problems with was Bill Russell. But Bill Russell also had a great team around.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Havlicek and Cousy.
Satch Sanders and people like that. But, you know, Will played on some good teams, but, you know, the Lakers of 71-72 is the best team.
That was the one he did. Jerry West.
Jerry West, Elgin Baylor. 32 games in a row, something like that. Gail Goodrich.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Awesome guys.
Keith Erickson.
Here we go. Here's our thoughts of the day, because we have to say goodbye.
Oh, gosh. Okay. Say goodbye.
Trying to figure out the meaning of life is like trying to ascertain the square root of a goldfish. And I've done that. The answer is 3.
Is it really? Okay. I'll take your word for it.
I know these things.
What you got planned for the weekend?
I'll have to figure that out and get back to you. And what you do today can improve all of your tomorrows. All right?
That's very true.
So tune in next week to Sports Econ 101. We're going to be discussing sports topics from a business perspective and asking more sports trivia questions. Thanks for listening. On behalf of our team, I'm your host, Edward Brown. We'll see you next week.
Good night, America.
Go on.